Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you with us here this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you will, please join us now as we move into devotion. We're going to have a song, Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams, Scripture by Dr. James Nooks, and prayer by Dr. Susie.
Especially today, when my life is
Amen.
Amen. Our text, we're going to read the foundational text first, and that's Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A focus text for tonight is Ephesians 2:1-5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walk according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But now, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Truly God has a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Join us in prayer. God, we come before you, and we are here to celebrate the task that you've set before us, and that is of making disciples. Well, we thank you for everything you've asked us to do, because Jesus gave us the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we do that, as we learn to teach them to obey everything that you've commanded, as we walk and understand that you're going to always be with us, and if we just hold on to your unchanging hand, then we can fulfill the task that you've set before us. And Lord, we're just asking tonight that we will open our hearts, and as the song says, open our hearts to you, O God, so that those who are listening, who don't have a clue as to who you are, would open their hearts and receive you, O God, as their Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, as we're learning tonight, as we're studying and understanding your command to go, that, Lord, what it means to be a disciple is that we have to follow you, because you promised to make us fishers of people. To follow you, that you're going to transform us, you're going to make us into fishers of people. And so we thank you for that directive, Lord. We ask that you lead, God, and direct us in a full understanding so that we can carry out the task that you've set before us. And now, Lord, we are celebrating as we go into study with you. In your Son's name, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are so excited about tonight, because last week we talked about discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? And we had lots of good information last week about what it meant to be a disciple. And it was really cool, because we learned that there were three aspects: that we had to follow Christ. Secondly, understanding his agenda, mission, and plan, not ours. We got to follow. And secondly, understanding he will make us, transform us into being what he's called us to do and to be, and that we will learn how to fish for humans, for people. Fish for people. Amen. And so as we go into the study that helps us look at that more intently, tonight we're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to contrast the spiritually dead and that which is the infant, spiritual babe, the infant. So I want to start off tonight by roll call. Who's on the line?
Brett,
this is Eric.
All right, we got James, Brett, and Eric tonight. That's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Brother Britt, what
yes.
does it mean? Give me a when something is dead, when something is spiritually dead, what does that mean?
You talking about spiritually dead?
Yeah, what does spiritually dead mean?
When a person has no hope, when they can't see a way out of a situation and they have forgotten who God really is, what he's capable of doing. When you allow your spirit to die, then you're out of hope. When you're out of hope, then spiritually that allows your spirit to be dead. You can't communicate with God because God is a spirit. And if our spirits are dead, then how are we going to communicate?
All right, Brother Brett. Brother Eric, Brother Nooks, one of you, can we get definitions from the two of you as well? What do you all see as spiritually dead?
This is Eric. I guess I'd have to say that being spiritually dead means not having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
God is spirit. You must worship him in spirit and truth. And if you don't
Amen.
Have a relationship
Amen.
With him, then you're spiritually dead. So
Amen.
That would be my answer.
Amen. And Dr. Nooks?
My answer would be separation from God.
Separated mm-hmm. from God. Okay.
Not connected with God.
Okay. Okay. Not connected with God. Amen. So what does it look like if people are characteristically dead, spiritually dead? What does that look like if we would see that behavior in someone? What kind of descriptors would you guys give so that we could identify someone who was spiritually dead?
This is Eric, and I'm going to take it directly from Galatians, actually. Following the desires of your own sinful nature, your lives will produce sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasures, idolatry, participation, demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, the feeling that everyone is wrong except for those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness,
well,
wild parties, and other kinds of sin.
Well, my Lord. Now tell me, you got that memorized, Brother?
I don't have
that?
All
I'm
of
like,
it memorized,
man.
but
I'm like, man, that rattled
off. Yeah, that's Galatians 5:19-21.
I know it. Backbiting is one of them too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Nooks, do you have any characteristics that you see as well, you know, in the lives of people that are spiritually dead?
Well, they're lost. They don't have a connection with God, so they're looking for something.
Okay.
And all the, I mean, the immorality is there also, but it's, I think there's something in us that seeks the spiritual, seeks the divine. And spiritually dead people, I think, something like what Brett was saying, people without hope. I'm just thinking
mm-hmm.
of some characteristics
right.
that they would display. Yeah.
Right. that don't believe that there is a God, that they don't believe in the Bible.
Amen.
They feel God is a crutch, right?
Amen.
They don't believe that there's a hell or a heaven. You know, I'm just been a good person. There ain't no, you know, absolute wrong and right, you know. They believe that, you know, they can do it however they want to do it, when they want to do it, and not have to worry about heaven or hell because they don't believe in it. But I want to read
Amen.
To you Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, and I'd like you to pick some things out of it. When you hear some things that trigger for you, stop me or say that's important. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace we've been saved. So what does that mean?
Amen.
That's one of your scriptures, Brother Eric. What does that mean?
Yeah, it is, and what that means is that we none of us can claim that we have always been holier than thou. We have all fallen short, been sinners, and only accepting Christ can we receive God's mercy and his love, because that's the only way that we can be redeemed. And so, you know, you talked about characteristics of someone that's spiritually dead, and I think I would add two things in short order as I think about Christ. And one is being spiritually dead, and Brother Brent said, you know, folks who have no hope. But there's also another characteristic of somebody that is spiritually dead, and that is the lack of love.
Yes.
And I don't know that we really talk about that true agape love that God showed us and that we should have, as well as you know, eros and you know, brotherly love. But the being spiritually dead means there's a lack thereof. But this, the scriptures that you read, clearly states that, you know, we all were there. We all were sinners. We all are still sinners. It's only by,
Amen.
You know, but you know, verse 4, but God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you have been saved. So it's
Amen.
Not about
making
you a good person and being a good person. It's about God raising Christ from the dead and giving us that opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
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 Amen. So the key thing that runs through what everybody has saying is that we all started off in the same place. I think Eric said it a few minutes ago when he said that we can't all claim what you call we heavenly righteous or what, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah,
what he
we
used,
can't.
But,
yeah.
You know, we all
yeah.
started
Amen.
In the same place. None of us are better than the other. You know, I've seen people try to get other folks to kiss their ring because they're so heavenly bound and already set, you know, and everybody else is to worship them and to come up to their standards that they so. But I think this is real clear right here that it lets us know that we're equal at the foot of the cross. We
Amen.
Are equal at the foot of the cross. And all of us
Amen.
Have to go this way. We all start dead in our trespasses and sin, transgressions and sin. We're all dead. And so we have to have something that happens inside of us, a quickening of the Holy Spirit touching our lives to understand that God, who God is, the love of God. I love what Brother Eric was saying and Brother Brett both when Brother Brett said the characteristic is hopelessness and Brother Eric said the other one is lack of love. My goodness, there's so many people in our world today.
Amen.
If we look out over the landscape of who we are in the United States of America, we have shown such lack of love and created such hopelessness that it's a daggum shame.
Amen.
So we need to understand that we are separated from God, as someone said earlier.
Amen.
When we're separated from God, that's our behavior and the characteristics. So you can call yourself evangelist, evangelistic, Baptist, whatever title you want to carry in a denomination, but if you don't have love in your life,
amen,
and you're manifesting that, then you need to go and think again whether you have business with the Lord that we call Lord and Savior. Because God says that's how you tell the love, by how we love one another if we're Christians.
Amen.
So if we're not showing love to one another, we don't have a hope, we're not trying to be connected, we don't care about our neighbor, we don't worry about justice and injustice, and we're just concerned about ourselves, hey, we need to rethink
that.
Dr. Susie,
and to really drive that home, can I read something that I was reading today in my studies? This is 2 Timothy 3. You should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times where people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly.
Come on.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
So we know that that's awesome. Everything that people are saying are so on point tonight, and it's that we understand everybody starts out spiritually dead. We understand the spiritually dead are characterized by unbelief and rebellion, those things that Eric just mentioned. Listening to people. Maya Angelou said, people tell you who they are. Listen, and when they tell you the first time, believe them. It's the same way with where people are in their Christian walk.
Amen.
If we just listen, they will tell you what stage of their journey they're on. They will tell you whether they're spiritually dead. They will tell you whether they're a spiritual infant. They will tell you by the things that they say and the way that they act. So as we go through tonight, what is the difference? What do you think is the difference between a spiritually dead person and a spiritual infant? What is the major difference, you think, between someone who is spiritually dead and somebody who's just an infant, a babe?
The infant is accepting Christ. Yeah.
Somebody's shuffling
spiritually
stuff, and
we can
hear it.
The infant is just Christ.
Somebody's walking around and moving stuff, and we hear it really strongly. So the infant accepts Christ. Is that what you said, Dr. Nux?
Yes.
Are there other things that we know that distinguishes the difference between the babe and the spiritually dead?
Well, the babe is also trying.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Dr. Nooks. There is in the babe there is life, and the babe is you know trying to seek how to have a relationship, an authentic relationship with God through Christ Jesus, and they're. You know, they need to be taught because they don't come here with that skill set. They don't come here with the knowledge of how to make that happen. And so they need to be taught that. They need somebody to mentor them and to be with them, but they are willing to start that journey, if you will.
Amen. So you're saying you don't have to drag them. They want to go.
Right. You don't have to drag them. They are willing to start that because they want to know.
Mm-hmm. So as a person passes from spiritual death to life, they are born again into being a spiritual infant. And once they are an infant, they desire to be more like Christ. So they don't have to be drugged to go to Bible study. They don't have to be drugged. So then why is it that the folks who think they've been with the Lord for 50 years would rather watch Empire than go to Bible study? What's that about?
Well, come on now. You know that after we've been in the church a while, we think it's just a matter of showing up. It ain't about studying. We just show up, get my favorite seat, tell the pastor to entertain me in the choir to sing me a couple songs, make me pat my feet. Let me go on and do what I'm going to do because, you know, I've been there a while. We really equate, and that's sad, but we really equate spirituality with how long you've been in the church. And that has
it has nothing to do with that.
It has nothing to do with that.
Amen.
I hear you laughing over there, Brother Britt. What you thinking? I heard it. I heard your mind just turned. What you thinking?
Oh, Lord. I hope you wasn't going to ask me that. Oh, Jesus. God help me. Okay, I'm going to put my foot in it like I normally do. Okay? Talking about tonight, a lot of things that Eric has said and Dr. Nooks and you just brings to mind something that happened not too long ago where bishops were kind of knocked upside the head by Carlton Pearson with his change about everybody's going to go to heaven. I think it's called inclusion, which made me think of originally when I read it, saw it, that something had to happen to this brother. See, you can overthink things to the point that you're not sure, but if you keep thinking about it long enough, you'll believe that it's true. And I think that's a good example of what we're talking about tonight. And that's what went through my mind is how can somebody who proclaim all these years about his personal relationship with God turn around and say there is no hell? That's what was on my mind. You asked for it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm. So in distinguishing the difference between a spiritually dead person and a spiritual infant, in relation to that, we know that if you are a believer in Christ, you believe that there is a heaven and hell. Fundamentally, biblically, it says clearly that there is a bema seat resurrection, judgment that we have to be accountable for.
This is Eric, and we know that is true. But let's just as you said, brother Brett, you put your foot in it. Well, I'm gonna dance on that a little bit. If you don't mind,
you're gonna stare it around, Lord.
Yeah, but let's be real. Is that I will tell you that one of the reasons that a brother would come up with some foolishness like that is because that's what people want to hear who are gonna come and are gonna put money in the plate. It has nothing to do with the true word. There are pastors and bishops that lose their way because they get to counting the dollars. And the more people, because more people want to hear that. People want to hear that there is no hell. They want to hear that I can live any way I want to, and when it's all said and done, I'm going to heaven. And if you're going to tell me that, I'll be there on Sunday. Absolutely.
Well,
But truthfully, we know that the scripture clearly tells us that there will be a judgment. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire to burn forever.
Amen.
You will be separated from God.
Right, and that's the true heart of hell, is that you will be separated from God. It's not so much the burning and all that. It's the fact that you will be separated from God forever.
Forever.
Amen.
And that brother's going to have to answer for that.
Well, God's already started that process.
Before you move on, Dr. Sue, let me just say this. And what I hope is, Brother Brett, and you just said that, is that he comes to the realization before he checks out of this plane. That's what
Amen.
I pray for him, is that he comes to that realization before he checks out of this plane.
Well,
Amen.
One of the things I'd like to share is that, you know, part of what our role here for me is that we make sure we understand that people understand what the Word of God says. And then once we share what the Word says, I mean, if you want to believe that, you know, President Trump is the new Hare Krishna, or that he's the new Jesus Christ. I mean, whatever you want to believe, we want people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but we can't make anybody, and the Lord gives us free will. The Lord gives us free will to make decisions to do what people want to do, and that's what we have to see how urgent that is that nobody's going to twist your hand or make you be that person who says, oh, yeah, I want to go to the church where they say I can do whatever you want to do. God's not going to twist your hand, and we're not going to either.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to twist, but you have to make that decision on your own. That's why we have free will, and that's why we're here offering the Word of God, so that you have a choice, and you can hear what thus said the Lord, and then it's up to you from that point on. Go ahead, Dr. Nick.
I was just going to say something brief to Carlton Pearson, and then I wanted to move on to talk about dragging people to church and people not wanting to come. But I think Carlton Pearson is confused, because I think he believes in his – he was concerned about the fact that he knew good people that died and had never given their life to Christ, and he – concerned about where those people were going to go and people in other countries and whatnot. But he couldn't really explain, because the one guy that was homosexual that had AIDS and got sick, you know, Carlton Pearson was trying to tell him that he can't live any kind of way. And it really was going against what he was teaching. So I don't think he's really has understood what he's teaching. You know, you can't tell people that there's no hell and there's no everybody's going to be saved and then tell people you ought to live a godly life. I mean,
Carlton was trying to redefine what that looked like. And there are things that the Bible clearly tells us. And so, I really don't like to get focused on individuals in the Bible study because. You know, our focus is supposed to be on Jesus Christ. So, you know, but it's good to know that there are people, because we're talking about what the spiritually dead are, who they look like. But we need to be focused on the plumb line, and the plumb line is Jesus Christ. Because none of us are perfect. Go ahead.
Right. None of us are perfect. None of us got a hell of heaven to put you in. But you cannot call yourself a teacher of God's words and then change what God's word said.
You cannot. Absolutely. You cannot, and you will
Amen.
Be held accountable for it if you try to. And you and talking about it says you'd be whipped with many stripes. So.
But I wanted to move on and talk about
Amen.
This concept of the spiritually dead and the spiritual infant. Because I feel like people, you talk about dragging people to church. I think in all stages of our growth in spirituality, I think there are periods when people don't want to go to church. Or there are periods when people's spirit is down. And people, times when they're depressed, times when they want to give up on church. I mean, I think we go through ups and downs in our spiritual journey. I think some people that are infants in Christ, sometimes you do have to check on them because sometimes they, even though they give their life to Christ, there are things that happen in our lives that pull us away from it. And this is Satan working on us. Satan doesn't give up. So people keep experiencing things in life, and then you've got people telling people they don't need to come to Christ. They don't need to go to church. They don't need to do that. Just be a good person. I mean, there's so many influences in our culture right now that are pulling people away. So even the people that have been in church and say they believe in Christ for a long time, you know, they go through downfalls. They go through periods of questioning and doubting. And that's Satan working on our minds. And we all have to be vigilant and help each other out through these difficult periods. And those that are out there that maybe they're babes in Christ, maybe you're being told right now by some things that are influencing your life, and you're questioning and you're doubting, and we want you to continue to stay strong in your faith or talk to someone that knows Jesus, because you will be tried. You will be tested. And sometimes you're going to want even fall away. But we pray that if you're in that falling away state that you'll come back because there will be times when you'll be tried. And don't be surprised when these things happen, because they will happen.
But there is a big difference to me. This is Dr. Susie, where people, they don't have a desire to go at all. They rather stay in bed. And the people rather stay at the stay-home Baptist all the time and not get up because they desire to know who God is, they are clearly spiritually dead. Because it's something that happens on the inside that beckons us, that we desire to go to just hear about who God is.
Amen.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, Dr. Susie. Now, I'm not going to say I disagree, but I'm going to push, and I'm going to push to say this: is that if someone is an infant and they are desiring to develop a true, authentic relationship with God, and they haven't found a place to go, you know, they may look to do other things, such as television ministry. They may look to try to find a small group of folks that they can, you know, start talking about the Lord with, and until they can truly find some place to go. Because what I have seen happen, and I've heard Dr. Nooks tell this story too, is that you get to a church and it ain't the church. You know, you're looking for a place to go, and they ain't showing love, they ain't preaching love, they live in a whole other way, and you become disillusioned, and then all of a sudden you worse off than you were before you got there.
Yeah, and that's Satan. That's Satan, that does
take place. I agree with both Dr. Nix and Eric. I believe that takes place, but my question is, but there's more than one church. And so for people, that's what I'm saying is, when you have a desire, I have seen people that will go, they see a church on the corner, and they're like, I'm going to stop because I want to go to church. I'm going to go check this one out because I'm trying to find. Now, I don't advocate that anybody go to a church where they're not preaching the word of God. You know, where the pastor's doing eisegesis and he's using his own, you know, elevation of self and not to even point to the Lord. I don't advocate that at all. But what I don't think there's an excuse for people who choose to stay home and not have a call. Now, there are times when I've gotten tired and I just wanted to stay home. I'm still reading my word. I'm still doing those things. And I do find my way back to fellowship. But I'm talking about people who get in the bed and Sunday after Sunday don't have a desire. That's different. They don't have a desire not for the word.
Yeah.
They don't study the word. They don't pick it up. They don't think about the Bible. The only time they think about it is if somebody in the family say something to them. I mean, that's spiritually dead. That's spiritually dead.
I would agree to that.
If we have family members and folks that are that way, we have to be intentional about sharing the word of God, because it could be tomorrow that they get in a wreck. We're not guaranteed to have tomorrow to live. And I would be remiss if any of my loved ones didn't know, or I hadn't extended enough for them to come to know God. And I do that. I try my best. You can't do everybody all the time, but you know, you to make the effort to at least make sure that people have an understanding of who Jesus is so that they can make a choice. So as we were talking about the spiritual babes, that's exactly what it is. They can be confused, right? They can be confused and be ignorant and dependent, meaning just like a regular babe would be, but at least they are desiring. You know, they're ignorant because they don't know a bunch about the spiritual truths. They get confused because they don't know how to replace those old habits with the new ones, you know, how to recognize that they're new creatures in Christ and how to start to walk in the empowerment and the anointing. And then they can be dependent because they can't grow by themselves. You know, they sometimes need that person who can say, you know, you can do it. You can do it, you know, one step at a time. Brother Eric does it all the time. To make sure you do your devotions. Make sure you have your quiet
Amen.
Time. You know, if you don't start off with reading but a verse a day, you know, do something and begin someplace and build. You know, make it after 30 days, you got a habit. You know, so that is the beginnings of what we understand the infant to be. What kind of needs do they have? Anybody? The needs of a spiritual infant. Can somebody read 1 Peter 2 through 3?
1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. Yeah, I'm back that way. 1 Peter 2, 2-3. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a babe cries for milk. Know that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness.
Amen.
Well, so what is break that down about the spiritual infant there, brother?
Well, spiritual infants need a little bit of everything. They need somebody to talk with. They need somebody to pray with. They need somebody to mentor them, to disciple them, if you will. You know, babes need everything. They can't do anything for themselves. You know, you have to feed them. You have to clothe them. You have to change them. You have to nurture them. And that's what they need. That's what our new brothers and sisters in Christ need as well, so that they can grow mature and healthy. And it's incumbent upon us to be able to do that. And I think the biggest mistake that we make is trying to disciple babes is we're not authentic enough to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
Of what Christ did for us and where we were and how he delivered us. I mean, we, you know, we once we've been in the church for a while, we don't want to tell those stories. We want to act like we was always in the church. We was always in the church.
We want to be heavenly
balanced. Always sitting on the front pew, you know.
Come on.
So,
and we weren't.
So, and you just reminded me of just how much, and we should be responsible for our brothers. So if you know that you got someone who is a newborn again Christian, and say they're struggling with alcoholism, and they said, "Look, I'm not doing this anymore," but yet you having a your friends are having a party, and you know they're going to have that, and they're going to walk into some temptation. I think it's our responsibility to say, "Hey, man, why don't we go to the movie?" You know, instead of going over there. You know,
well,
let's go hang out and do something else. Because I guess what I'm saying is we need to look out for the other person. You know what I mean?
Well,
we need to try to have a care and protection. Go ahead.
Well, you should. I mean, Paul told us if eating meat offends my brother, then I won't eat meat. Whatever offends my brother that may cause him some problems, then you ought not do and you ought not put them in that position. That doesn't mean that when they're not with you that you can't do that if there's no problem to you. But if you
right.
know that's an issue for your brother or sister, you absolutely should not put them in that position, in that situation.
And you should, even when it's not about putting them into it, sometimes you can just steer them away from it, you know? Even when you hear, "Hey, man, oh, you're going over such and such? Hey, man, you know, I wouldn't tempt that. That sounds like a challenge to me. I stay away from that." You know, but not only
Amen.
Do we care and protect them, but we have to teach and model. You know, you said that earlier, Brother Eric. It's not good enough that we just verbalize it. They got to see it somewhere. We got to model that truth
yeah.
in the faith.
Amen.
Amen. So
this is Brett. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, a long time ago when we first started out with the Bible study, we talked about something like this before. And I don't know if it was you, Dr. Susie, or if it was somebody else back at that time, but babies trying to walk in the light. That we all have different stages that we are in our journey. But at the beginning, the seed is planted. It's like growing a flower. Once you plant that seed, you got to nurture it. You got to make sure it's watered. You got to give it the nutrients, which is the word of God. You got to make sure that once it breaks ground, that you teach it how to stand tall. Sometimes you got to put a stick in there and tie the stem to it loosely so it'll grow up straight and not wander off on one side of the pot or the other. But that's the same thing with the Word of God. We have to make sure that whoever is nurturing this babe is making sure that we're not going to let you fall. I got a hand on the right side of you, a hand on the left side of you. So come on. Try standing up and then start taking your steps. It's baby steps at a time. And next thing you know, they get up on their own. They're able to walk and they know how to go into a straight path when they want their mother or father or whoever it is. That's the person that's nurturing. That's the same thing with the Word of God. When you hunger for that and you are being led down that spiritual path, you will get up and you will try to start to run to it. You may stumble and fall, but that's part of growing. Every time you stumble, that means that you get up and you try it again. That's the hurdles that we are faced in life. When we have people that talk to us and talk about, "Well, you don't need to go to church. You don't need God. You know, God is not real, da-da-da-da-da," whatever. And I think that is a good example of where we are at today. As long as we continue to nurture people and to take them down a straight path, they're not going to stray. But we all, like Eric says, we all have had history before we became Christians. And that's where people don't understand. Go ahead.
And I want to challenge it. Go ahead, Dr. Nix. You've been waiting patiently, and then I want to go after you. Go ahead.
I wanted to, I guess, caution us to be careful about falling into the mindset of being condescending to someone that we feel is obeyed in Christ and feeling like we are somehow at a higher level and talking down to people. Because many of these babes in Christ will be older than you. And they've gone through some things in life. And sometimes that is not what they need to be talked down to. Be careful and be in prayer about how we approach people. And we don't need to think that we're somehow better or closer to God than they are because they're obeying in Christ. But to approach them and talk to them and nurture them and walk with them. And Dr. Susie, you mentioned about going to a movie. So, I mean, to do whatever we do in love and also respect. Because there's a danger in talking down to people or feeling like somehow we know more than you do, and therefore you ought to listen to me, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and you ought to do it because I tell you. You know, that can come across to people as you really don't love me or you really don't understand me. So just a caution, because we have too many people in church that think that they are holier than other people. And we don't want people to think that, ever think that. If we are trying to nurture somebody, we need to nurture them in love. Just a caution. Amen.
I agree with that, Dr. Nix. I also think that part of the problem of where we are now with our country and with our children and things is because we fail to say anything at all. And as a result, we got a generations of people who do what they want to do and don't know anything about who God is, because we were so afraid of hurting their feelings or doing anything that we didn't say anything. And so I think there's a tension that we need to have, a balance that needs to be there, and it's going to be different for each situation. There's no pat answers. But I do feel that part of the reason why we're in the situation we're in is because we were too worried about not saying something to somebody, and so we got a bunch of folk that nothing was said to at all because we were worried how they would take it. So,
Eric. Let me add a little bit to that. And let's just be truthful. It wasn't so much that we were concerned about their feelings. And this is biblically related. It wasn't so much that we were concerned about their feelings. It was that we were shying away from Christ's saving power. We were denying Christ and his saving power. So let's just kind of be real about that. We know we're Christians, but if somebody else knows that, they're going to think, oh, well, you know, that's crazy. Why you do that? And, you know, we are guilty of shying away from Christ's saving grace and saving power that we should be telling people about. I mean, we're supposed to be the light and the beacons of what this world should be, of God's love. And you're absolutely right, because it literally appalls me to hear of this evangelical Christian political people, and depending upon which way the wind blows is what they'll accept. And that's just
all right.
That's just not right.
Amen.
That's just not right. There's supposed to be a
Amen.
Standard there. We as Christians are supposed to have a standard that is Christ-like. And you know, some of that stuff I hear, and I'm like, man, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. But my old friend Slim would say, They're going to bust hell wide open with gasoline drawers on.
Amen.
Well, I always love to listen to Dr. Nook because he's usually the opposite of me. He's kind of soft-handed, and I think I'm more heavy-handed because I feel like this way, you know, if I get a group of kids, I'd rather bust their butt with the word so that they absolutely know it, and if they reject it, it's on them. So for me, and then you have to be careful, like you said, because that can drive folk away. So, different things for different people, and you pray that God gives you the spirit to know which method to use and when. But my question, what I wanted to say before we forget, is that, Eric, you brought up, you said something a minute ago when you were talking about how we needed to, that we were afraid for people to tell, the people afraid to tell their stories. And I want to take it another step. Not only are we afraid for people to tell their stories, but we don't want to see people see us make a mistake. And it's these babes in Christ, new Christians, need to see how we as so-called mature people handle failures and mistakes. And they need to be able to see that in our lives. When we run into situations and circumstances, do we? I heard somebody say not too long ago, I'm going to lay my religion down and I'm going to take care of this and then I'll pick it back up. Woo! I don't think it works like that. So they need to see
us. No, it doesn't work like that.
They need to see us get on our knees. They need to see us submit to God's authority and God's wisdom and God's direction and leading and sustaining power, as you said. They need to see how we will fast, how we will pray, how we will turn it over to the Lord and do what we need to do in the spiritual realm to be prepared and fight the battle. Putting on the armor every day, calling that out. They need to see us live that and walk that so that they can know how to do it and feel empowered by it. But no, we want everybody to think our stuff is smooth. We don't have any mistakes or any challenges. And as a result, we don't help people grow. Because they don't get to see that. They don't get to hear that. They don't get to know that, yeah, you know, life ain't easy once you become a Christian. You know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, and this is how the tough handle it. So any feedback related to that? Hey, Brother Brian, we see you on the line. So anything, any feedback regarding that? Anybody?
This is Britt. A lot of times, why Christian people do not react and do the right thing is because they have been saying, oh, I'm a Christian. When somebody says, well, I go to church, right? I go to church too. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to live that Christian life. A lot of times people, I think I said it once before, they try to fake it until they can make it. And when you are supposed to be a Christian, you should have some knowledge of how to take a person that's given themselves to Christ for the first time and help to nurture them along. Now, we don't know everything, but we all have other people in the church that can be there to help that person along with us being there so that we can learn from what we don't know. And I think a lot of times people are too afraid to step out on their faith because they really don't have the faith that they proclaim to have. That's
amen.
It.
Well, I just want to tell everybody thank you tonight. We've got some good discussion going on. I'd like everybody to share one thing, and then Brother Eric, if you would close us in prayer and the invitation to accept Christ, if you're able to do that. If not, are you able to do that tonight, Brother Eric?
Yeah.
Is he gone?
If we make it quick. Yeah,
all
I can
right.
Do that.
Brother Nooks and you want to start off, Brother Britt, right quick. What's the big take home for you?
Yeah.
That you want to share with something we've already discussed.
Right.
with our audience tonight.
Okay. excuse me, if you're new to the Word and new to taking on this spiritual walk, keep in mind that everybody has to be fed. That's why in 1 Peter 2, it talks about the spiritual milk. We all get hungry, so don't let that hunger get full. Always crave for more of the Word so that you can get more knowledge and be able to use that knowledge. And just keep it safe. Don't ever let anybody distract you from your spiritual faith, because God is not through with you, because once you start this journey, He's not going to leave you. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Nook.
Always remember to love people in whatever stage of growth they are in, even those that are lost. Still show the love of Christ and realize that even no matter how long you've been in this walk with Christ, you still haven't made it yet. It's like Paul said, I have not yet attained. All of us are in the process of growth.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Eric.
So my big takeaway that I'd like everybody that's listening to know is that we all start the same place. We're all sinners. It's only by God's grace and mercy through the death and resurrection of His Son that gives us the right to be called Christians and to come before God's presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just think it's awesome tonight that we're here talking about this. And I think it's important that we all understand that we all fall short of the glory of God. And we will continue to do that. None of us are so perfect, because if we were, we wouldn't still be here. But God has allowed us to be here to grow and to challenge. But we do want you to be mindful of what a spiritually dead person is and what a spiritual babe is, so that you can examine your life and you can come to know who Jesus is. So, Brother Eric, if you close us tonight, we appreciate
Amen.
It.
Gracious Father, we come before You. We come before You with thanksgiving hearts. We come before You because Your Son, Jesus Christ, gave His life that we may have this opportunity to come before Your presence, knowing that You are testified to hear us because we have accepted Christ. And for those of you who have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you would like to, I'd invite you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, may You come into my life to take control as I surrender myself to You, that You would lead, guide, and direct me, and that You would rest, rule, and abide in my life, that You would show me how to be the person that I should be, to be Christ-like. As I surrender myself to You, that You would come into my heart and take control. If you pray that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for you and was raised on the third day with all power, defeating Satan, sin, the grave, and death, and He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand, making intercessions on your behalf, then you are saved. And I would invite you to find a local church congregation that preaches the Word, that you may join to be fed, but also join us every Tuesday as we do that. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for those who have accepted You as their personal Savior, and ask that You would nurture them, guide, and direct them. And for the rest of us, that You would provide our needs, Father, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, Father, our work needs, our family needs. For You know what they are, and You know that we depend upon You. Continue to strengthen us, Father, in our walk with You. Some days it gets lonely, some days it gets hard. But we know that You are still there. You would never leave us nor forsake us, even until the ends of the world, Father. In this I stand, that You are the solid rock. Father, You are the cornerstone.
Amen.
Be merciful.
Amen.
Be kind. Guide and direct us, for it's in Your Son, Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
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 We'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about spiritual child and young adult.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.